This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Speed Believe in Lima's favorite TV show. That coming up a little bit later on. Also, whether or not to pay David Njoku again. And can you root? I just don't think I can root for him. I try. I don't think I can do it, Tone.
Wow, Zach's a good guy.
No, Zach is secretly a better person than what he lets on. But the other ones, I can't root for him. I'll get to that coming up later. Let's get to Zach Jackson, Browns writer. Follow him on Twitter, at Akron Jackson. Yellow.
I've been power ranking Cleveland radio shows.
Where are we?
About where the Browns are in Peter King's.
Okay.
Especially if Ken misses a few weeks.
Oh, sure. I'm sure you feel that way.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. Zach Jackson joining us here on the show. So where to begin? Well, first off, Mike Florio, he got pretty hot and bothered over Deshaun Watson taking his teammates to the Bahamas last weekend. Said it was tone deaf. Lyme and I didn't have a problem last week, so how can we have a problem now? Where do you stand on the whole matter?
Schedule release was May 12th. Yeah, dry time for clips.
Ooh, strong.
Yeah, listen, there's no way the optics of this thing are going to be good, and especially if you've made up your mind that they're not going to be good, right? So, you know, as we await a ruling, a judgment, whatever it's going to be, you know, we wonder where that plays in to the NFL is in relation to other things, in relation to the number of eyeballs that the NFL gets on everything it does, including non-events such as the schedule release, right? So, look, the Browns signed up for all of this. I don't, you know, necessarily have a problem with it, but, you know, we're awaiting this decision because what this move was about winning on the field. And, you know, we know the Browns' chances of winning X number of games and eventually hitting the pace that we think this offense can hit with the proper health and timing and influx of talent that it's made, right? Then that suspension or potential suspension, you know, is a big part of everybody getting to that. And then, of course, the optics of how this situation is ultimately viewed.
Zach Jackson joining us on the show. So we saw the Brett Schrotenbohr report about the girls, Deshaun Watson making the one cry. The one therapist cry.
He claims, by the way, that the Browns, he claims that that's new, that would not have been in the investigations that he admitted that.
Is that Brett Schrotenbohr?
He said on a recent podcast with Nate Ulrich that the Browns would not have known that.
Okay. So we have that. Now we have this HBO Real Sports interview that's going to come out tomorrow. It's not looking really great right now. There are a lot of bad things being said about Deshaun Watson. Should he say something on his own behalf publicly? Should he defend himself in an interview?
I don't think so. I think this comes down to, Anthony, what you mentioned there. You know, the Browns claim they did a super thorough investigation over months and multiple sources. So as we await ruling here and guess on how that's going to go, I think some of it probably is what they know in relation to their level of confidence of both doing the trade and that he'll be available for this year versus, you know, what might be new or different to the NFL investigators in finding this. So I don't know if I was on his PR team or his legal team, I don't know what I would say to him. And I know that's a bad radio answer, but I just think the Browns signed up for all of this. And, you know, I think he should be made available to answer the questions. If he's not, I will understand because, again, it goes back to the optics, which are, frankly, awful.
Zach, I keep hearing people that were at the owners' meeting, some of those individuals, and I know you had some access as well. They keep maintaining that the Browns are confident. We know what they said during their press conference. We know what the Haslam said. I keep hearing that the Browns are not expecting the hammer to be big and to be as punitive as people outside of Cleveland are expecting or maybe even want. Has your mind changed on this at all as to what you think this punishment could be?
No, but I don't know. You know, I think there was, I think confidence is maybe not the right word. Maybe it is. I think they thought they knew what was in front of them, and maybe they do, right? Maybe all this is expected and it's just put in a different package. And I don't think that it was planned by HBO to air this on 10 o'clock on Tuesday when the Browns are opening practice on Wednesday, right? I think that that's just what happened. But as long as this is out there, as long as this is unresolved and this goes to Football Matters too, like wherever they go, this is going to be there, right? So they open the practice doors for 2 hours to a credentialed media. They open training camp to thousands of fans, or they go on the road nine times a year to play in front of 80,000. Like, this is going to be out there. And so, you know, they want to know, obviously, for football and for strategy reasons. But eventually they did this because eventually they think the book will be closed and they'll move on and go. But it is going to follow them. And it is, as I wrote last week, like, I feel like that these 2 months since the Browns traded for Watson have been more like 9 months. But this really does hang over everything, and it is tied to everything about the team, from the building of the bottom of the roster to looking at the schedule to obviously what this team's ceiling can be. And they bring back Clowney because they think the ceiling is pretty high, right? Pay him a lot of money for his age 29 season. But, you know, if Jacoby Brissett plays half the year, the team's chances of making the playoffs, to me, are minuscule. The AFC is just too good.
Zach, one thing we have not really talked a ton about is just what we expect from Watson once he's actually ready to play. Now, I've been on record saying I don't expect him to be all that rusty. I've seen quarterbacks come back after torn ACLs and plenty of time off. And that's not the situation here with Watson, even though there is a lot of time off here. But psychological, I don't know what to expect from him at all. I don't know what it's going to be like going into these road venues and having him turn into one of the most hated players in the league, which is what I think the expectation would be. So how do you know even what to expect from Watson, and what do you expect from him?
Yeah, I mean, that is a mystery. I'm with you. I don't expect much rust. I think the talent will come through. I mean, this is a young guy in great shape who's played and you know, is healthy now and all of that stuff. To me, it's about the timing with his new teammates, the intricacies of the offense, getting on the same page. You know, the scouting cliche is the three P's: passer, play caller, pass protection. The Browns think they have all three. I don't think that they think in Watson's second game, whether that's in September or November, that they're going to be where they want to be or need to be to make that magical run through December and January, right? So the receiving core has question marks. I think it should automatically be better with better quarterback play. Obviously, the run game can drive things and open things, and Watson's not only his legs, but just his talents can open things in this offense. So to me, it's more about just the repetition and thinking that they'll be need at least a month to really get good than it is him shaking the rust. I think he'll do that, and I think that's been going on now, and that's a big part of – I mean, Stefanski was talking about the importance of the offseason program even before they traded for Watson, right? Just for little details and getting guys up to speed, and they haven't had that. So they finally have some continuity, which should help the guys picking the players. It should help the coaches who are coaching the players. And this guy is really, really good and can make every throw, and you're not out of games. And you can do things that you just couldn't do before. And that's no knock on the previous guy. I'll be glad to come on tomorrow and knock the previous guy if you want me to. But it's not going to happen right away because it just doesn't happen. And, you know, teams on the other side are too good.
Zach Jackson joining us on the show. Why do you want to knock the previous guy?
At this point, I'd like to talk about anything other than Deshaun Watson. Like, when you guys text me yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah, Clowney, cool, let's do this. And then here I am pretending to be a lawyer again.
Jadeveon Clowney, You like the signing? There you go.
Yes. Necessary. Always was headed that way. I mean, it's a sign that of where the Browns think they're ready to go. You know, I think you track the offseason, they always kind of left that void open. Even with the Baker thing looming out there and a couple other business things, they kept the money for him. You know, I just think it's Clowney wanted 12, the Browns wanted to pay less. They settled on 11 and they plug him in. I mean, this dude is brute strength that you just can't find. And you pair him with Garrett, and that's two guys that you just are hard to find on the same defensive line. And I think when we talk about outside all of this stuff, and obviously the Watson thing swallows it, but you talk about power ratings and receiving cores and all of this other stuff that's swirling around, I think the one thing that gets overlooked is how well the defense played at the end of last year. And you still need the offense to be great to eventually make that run, but, you know, everybody's back except for the two defensive tackles and finally have that continuity. So I think you could think big things from this defense, and I think the defense could help them, you know, win a couple early regardless of who's quarterbacking.
What do you think of that defensive line as a whole? Because while we all saw the defense make strides and we're excited along with having these lockdown young corners that are just going to get better and better and better, in the end, if you're not getting to the quarterback, especially on big third downs, then you're just not going to get stops. And that's where I wonder, how much better can the Browns be next year? How much of that was luck last year? How much of that was maybe Myles Garrett gassed at the end of these games? Just seemed like they really had trouble getting those third down stops towards the end of games.
You know, I think they think Alex Wright will be ready to play in the second half of the year and help them. You know, the defensive line, the end group is obviously better than the defensive tackle group and the corner group. You know, the defensive tackle group on paper is probably the weakest on the team, or certainly in the discussion. But that's by design. Like, you watch how they've built. They just don't devote the big resources there. So the first free agent signing, which gets lost in the Watson thing, like everything else, was Brian, who's a former first-round pick. Now, he was a backup for the Jaguars last year. I don't think they're bringing in an all-pro here. But, you know, he solidifies that Sheldon Day is back if they need him. They drafted Winfrey. They have the young guys who just really haven't played a lot. Now, have they not played a lot because they're not good? Or were they all – was their turn coming? So, you know, Chase Winovich will be given a chance to win that Tack McKinley role. Alex Wright is there. Clowney and Garrett are back. You know, with the exception of who's going to play slot corner – and, you know, they have lost some depth in the secondary by trading Troy Hill and by MJ Stewart leaving. You know, they're solid there. They're really solid at every spot on defense. And as defensive tackle stands out, I think it's A, because the other groups are so good, and B, they're fine with that. You're not going to have Pro Bowlers at every position.
Zach Jackson joining us here on the show. Zach, what is the future of Baker Mayfield? What is the future of Baker Mayfield?
Okay, so as we get into this window here, right, yeah. Every team over the next – somewhere in the next 2.5 to 4 weeks closes up shop for the summer. So there's not likely to be a quarterback injury then, but there could be some guys who just fall flat on their face and teams say.
Okay.
You know, I think we're looking at anywhere from June 10th-ish the window opens for a potential trade. Is it more likely to wait for an injury in August? Probably. But I believe the Browns remain confident that they will get something in return. I think the reality is they're going to have to pay around half the salary, but that's fine. They'll still get to have that money free to roll over, to use however they would like. I don't know that Baker will be a day one starter. I think your door remains open for Baker to be the day one starter against the Browns in Carolina on September 11th. You know, I think they're still atop any list, but I think the Browns are about 3 weeks away from, you know, having a real chance to trade him, and anywhere in that June to August window, they'll move on. But again, I really feel like that this is what we talk about, and we talk about Baker and he's a lightning rod and all of those things. But I think internally the Browns have moved on. It's no drama. It'll take 30 seconds to excuse him from mandatory camp in June. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'll get a chance to play football again this season, and maybe sooner than later.
Zach Jackson with us, wrapping things up. There were roughly 25 tight ends, depending on the metrics that you'd be looking at, that had more production the last 2 years combined than David Njoku. Yet we are talking big money apparently now for an extension.
What the hell's going on
here,
Zach?
Where is this coming from?
Well, because they keep committing to him. They gave him a guaranteed six last year, and this is a guaranteed 11 this year on the tender. So when you use the franchise tag on a guy and who's still only 25 and you've invested in, you would think that that points to that. So, you know, they're asking a lot, and we've seen the flashes, right? And he would have gotten signed on the open market because there aren't that many tight ends. But, I mean, he played 65% of the snaps last year. You know, he was clearly the number two guy. We have not seen it in anything more than those flashes. So, yeah, that's a tricky one on what to go there. It's not like they need the money that an extension would bring, but it does bring you peace of mind. This is a long-term planning franchise, and they already have invested a lot in David Njoku. So I think the intention was to get a deal done. Now, does it mix? You know, do they find the middle ground and get the numbers done? I don't know, but I think the intention was always to do that. I think July 15th is the date on that, so they still got plenty of time. So many times franchise tags deals don't get done until in that window right before the deadline.
What would you do? Would you just let him walk? What would you do?
Probably not. If I've committed to him to this point, I would probably do the deal. So, and I think by not drafting a tight end and not really having another NFL tight end other than Harrison Bryant on a roster right now, I would think it probably can indicate that they plan to do the deal. But I don't know. I think one of the things that they'll be shopping for in late June to early July is that battering ram, just kind of, you know, blocking type emergency tight end. We don't know what this offense is going to look like, but it wouldn't be stunning for David Njoku to have a big year with Deshaun Watson, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, here's how that goes. Look at the Chargers game tape. Well, what other game should we look at? The Chargers?
Basically. Zach?
Well, Cincinnati. Cincinnati was good.
Remember that ball Baker threw to him in Cincinnati that, like, it hit him, like, directly, but the only reason it was the hardest thrown, most perfect thrown ball of all time, right? But then the next year he was in the doghouse, and then he played 50% of the snaps 2 years ago and 65% last year.
Well, Zach, we can always hope for next year, can't we? I don't know what to say. I'm just so surprised. Everybody's like, "Oh, he deserves it. He deserves it." Why? Because he wants to stay here now. All of a sudden, is that it?
Yeah. I mean, but imagine signing a guy to the contract you signed Hooper, and he's not dramatically better than David Njoku was at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Lord Almighty. All right, Zach, thank you very much for the time.
Yeah.
Can I just say, too, he's way softer with the media, too. Way softer. Like, at least David Njoku, like, there's a back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think David Njoku's went after a couple people. But there's at least a back and forth. I can get with David Njoku. David Njoku looks the part. Man, Hooper was just a disappointment in every single sense of the word, it seemed. And it's like, he was so soft. Like, he definitely listened to everything.
Where did Hooper end up, by the way?
Who cares? Tennessee. 216-578-0092, I think, for what, $3-6 million? $6 million. Coming up
you
at
say,
nine.
Who cares? Peter King has Tennessee ahead of the Browns. Maybe it's because of the Hooper signing.
Oh, okay. Coming up next.
What other huge additions have they made on offense?
When we don't know, we automatically assume the worst. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General, here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Already done with Instagram.
What happened?
Done. I deleted the post and just got rid of people.
Why?
Gabe and Ashtabula wrote on my, and I went, block, bye-bye.
Wait.
Done.
No.
Done with Instagram.
What happened?
Done with it. Posted the video of you talking about my breakfast, and it just turned into a bleep show.
Does Elon Musk need to buy Instagram to verify all the users?
Done with the website. I knew I'd be done with it. Already done. Not any fun.
Well, come on. Wait.
Website sucks.
Gabe likes to have fun. He's one of the guys that tweets and calls us. So what wasn't fun about this experience?
Gabe, go pound it with walnuts for all I care. Couple other people, goodbye.
Wait.
Bye-bye. Done with
Instagram.
That.
Well, no, hold on.
Deleted it.
Tell
done.
People what you posted. Done.
Well, no. I listen. I like to have fun.
You
and I know what
fun.
I look like.
I was a part of the video.
I know what I look like. I know I look. You know exactly what I look like.
Big
Go
fat
ahead.
Fatty?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I look like big fat, fatty boombalatty. I know that. Just didn't need it. Deleted it. Got rid of it. Done. Dunzo. Cremunzo. Because just a bunch of fake people who don't. I clicked on the thing. Yep, they're private. Well, then if they're private, then what the hell should I be? This is
but
no fun.
What were they saying?
This is no fun.
Because like you were doing that. Hold on.
No, hold on.
Okay,
you hold on.
You're not explaining.
You hold on.
You're not explaining what you posted. You posted about your
breakfast
and you were making fun of yourself.
Oh, my God. What it's a real story, it? What you just sent me there. That's a real
I
story.
Told you.
It's a Radio Inside Biz story. You wouldn't even get it.
You're not
I posted
the
you
biz,
making
Lima.
Fun. No, I was talking to the people in general. I'm sorry. You were talking about my breakfast, which Lizzie made me, and I ate my breakfast, and that's it. And so I posted the video, and I thought it'd be funny. It's just not as funny as Facebook or Twitter. It's just not. It just sucks. Website sucks. It's no fun at
there's
all.
There's a ton of funny people on Facebook.
It's no fun at all. No, Facebook is funny because it's crazy. So it's crazy stuff.
Facebook's like when you get into the line at the grocery store and the cashier and the person
yes.
in front of you are fighting. Like you don't know
yes.
how it started.
Yeah, but
you
want to
see the whole thing.
Yep, I want to see the whole thing. It was like that fight that was on the plane right over me. And I went, yep, I'm enjoying this. It was interesting. This, I don't know, I got some cartoon character who said something not nice, and I got some guy who lives in Tennessee who said something not nice, and they're both you can't even.
Austin Hooper?
No. Oh, you know what? Maybe that came to me. I was like, well, the hell with it. Because if like so, like if there's just a, like if there's a blocked or a protected account, then fine. I can't even see it. Whatever. It don't matter to me. Or if there's a bunch of fake burner accounts that people make just to say to nasty people, it's like, oh, whatever, mute. No big deal. But at least there's some like, hey, back and forth. This is just nothing. Website sucks. Done with it. If I'm not having fun with it, I'm not going to deal with it.
I thought you
What's
were inviting people to make fun of you, and then that would be part
and
of the
fun. You know
fun.
What? I say that, and I'll still do it. Because, you know, I'm a narcissist, just like any other radio guy, and that's what we do. It's great. Wonderful. Website sucks. Don't want to deal with it. Why are our bosses standing outside the window? What is that about?
Well, they're tired of you and your Instagram.
Doesn't somewhere. Make me feel any better about it. All right. Back to the phones. We're back to the show. Sorry. Now I'm holding my phone, was thinking about my phone, and there we are. So now I'm getting off that website. I'll just have it and that's it. Done. Don't try to talk me back into what I made my decision. That's it. Also, now I'm being asked about wishing people who were dead Facebook happy birthdays. I did that like five times
you did
by
that
accident.
A lot, though.
It was five times by accident. That's not
you
a lot
might
in the grand scheme
the guy
of things.
By doing that.
That's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. If I have 5,000 friends on Facebook, and in the history of me being on Facebook, which has been about a dozen years, if I wished five happy birthday and they happen to have passed on, that's still a pretty good number.
Yeah, but if they're all five members of my family, I'm not happy with you right now.
I think that would be one hell of a coincidence. Anyway, all right, back to the whole whether or not it was a bad look for him to go to the Bahamas with his teammates.
Oh, we're doing that again.
Well, I mean, we asked Zach about it. We can do it. Jadeveon Clowney, is he good or really good? 216-578. You know what? Here we go. Let's call ignoring the elephant in the room. That's what we're calling this segment. Instagram, good or bad? 216-578-0092. Jadeveon Clowney, good, bad, really good. 216-578-0092.
What is going on here? I feel like
I'm trying
like,
to ignore the elephant in the room.
I feel like we've lost you for the rest of the show. What happened here?
You didn't lose me for the rest of the show. You lost me for about 3 minutes there.
Okay.
I got caught in my feelings. I got worked into a little bit of a shoot, and I moved on. I know. I'm the guy who always says, bring it on. I look like this, and I know I got it coming to me. Fine. Because I should be shamed. Ashamed of this. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about? Get into what you want to talk about.
I thought we were going to get to Steph Curry and how much you just
I was
absolutely
going to do
despised
that at,
him.
I was going to do that at 9:40. Thank you very much. But we just had Zach on. I figured we'd react to something with the Browns. And, of course, people made a big deal earlier this morning on the show about how it's not a big deal. So I figure, okay, let's talk about this and do it until 9:40. And then when 9:40 comes around, We'll talk about that. I did not expect to open up my phone and see a bunch of nasty things on my Instagram, now I'm done with that website.
I think it's just a combination of things that if you would have said a few months ago, it seemed like there was a lot of silence. There wasn't a lot of news coming out about Watson, and all you kept hearing was the Browns are thinking this isn't going to be bad. And then other guys were saying he might not get suspended until next year, if at all, and he's still proclaiming his innocence. And now it seems like just court of public opinion outside of Cleveland, because obviously – here in Cleveland, even though it's polarizing even here, most people are hoping he gets zero games, and you're just hearing the way that people in Cleveland are characterizing the accusers, which is exactly what the Pittsburgh fans did and exactly what the Laker fans have. It's the same right out of the handbook of how fans deal with this. If it's your guy, you don't think anything bad happened or you're praying it didn't happen. And if it's someone else's guy, you want the league to throw the book at him. So outside of Cleveland, the public opinion is not good. I mean, and it has really turned over the last few weeks.
And the lesson that's learned out of any of this is that the league doesn't care. It's all based on it. I mean, everybody has bad guys who play for their football teams. I mean, if I've learned anything out of all this, I mean, because I knew I didn't want him to pick here back when it was rumored, because I knew it was going to be an uncomfortable conversation. And it's been that. It's been an uncomfortable conversation. Okay? But he's our blessing now, right? One of the blessings that I've had to learn about myself is that I lived in this fantasy world of professional sports. I'm serious about this. This is a serious thing. I lived in a fantasy world of professional sports where it was okay to rip Steelers fans I have this thing over the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I have this thing over Ben Roethlisberger because of what he was accused of and what he settled on, right? Is that any reason? I don't think it is. Like, these are serious things. Like, I brought this up for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson clearly thinks this is a serious thing. If he didn't think this was a life and death serious thing, would he go to these lengths to try to clear the dirt off his name?
He hired the most expensive lawyer in the world to handle this.
Like, if he didn't think this was really dreadfully serious, he wouldn't go through these lengths. He would have just settled and moved on. So he clearly thinks that this is a very, very, very big deal, and it's very important to him to do so, which is perfectly fine, and he should try to do that. But it's taught me a lesson about the other teams, and so that's why there's a couple of things where I question when we're sent certain things. I question the motive behind it. Are we just doing this because he plays for the Browns? Would people have the same type of energy? And I'll use that term. I know that's a young person's term. But would people have the same type of energy had he picked Carolina or New Orleans?
Of course not.
Would he
not
have here. Exactly? Would they have the same energy if he picked Atlanta?
And
but
furthermore,
would we be talking about him? No, so it wouldn't be the center of controversy.
Furthermore, I'll tell you more about fan psychology. They would have been rooting against him. They would have said, "Oh, yeah. If we didn't get him and he chose other teams over us, we hope he gets suspended for the whole year. Takes another team out of the equation and makes us feel better about the fact we didn't get him."
No,
that's how fans react.
That's exactly what happened when initially he took himself out of the Browns running. Like when we thought he was out, like that Thursday. I think that's how a lot of fans reacted. And then when he came back, like, oh, here we go. So, yeah.
And there's also an honesty to it where it seems decrepit, but at the same time, hey, I don't blame a fan for doing that. It's sports. It's professional sports. Like, if he did not play for the Browns, we would not have this energy. We would not be doing this. People would not be – they are pouring over research. I got Twitter. Do your research. They wouldn't be pouring over it. They wouldn't care. But it's the game we've chosen to love. It's a sport we've chosen to love. It's professional sports in some way, in a fantasy. It's a representation of us. It's a fantasy to us. So I don't blame a fan for doing that. It sucks that this is one of the conversations that we have to have. And we'll have more of it. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, the special airs with HBO Real Sports. Soledad O'Brien is conducting it, correct? Guess what we'll end up talking about on Wednesday morning?
Yeah, there's obviously going to be so much discussion about what did they clear with the accusers, and I don't think Soledad O'Brien is going to, or her show or her producers are going to put that out there. Like, why did the accusers agree to do those interviews? Were there any questions that were cleared ahead of time? Like, Bob Costas, for sure, if he were doing this, would say that. So I wonder if she'll do that, if she'll say, we refuse to concede any terms before the interview. Is she going to look like she's being hard on them in terms of just questioning and making sure, like, if one of the accusers happened to be, and I don't know which ones they are, if one of them happens to be one that went back to him after they felt, quote, uncomfortable. Is she going to grill them on that? I wonder how fair of an interview this is going to be. Obviously, the fans are just going to pick their sides when all this is said and done. I think they'll just end up doubling down. Most fans, I do think, will just end up doubling down on their opinion. If they thought this was a cash grab by the accusers, they're going to feel only more emboldened about that. And vice versa, if you think that this has been seedy, you can't believe the Browns made this choice, my guess is this is going to be really ugly for you.
We get to Tom and Elyria. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think our problem is that we look at this whole Deshaun Watson situation through a prism that existed in the past. With this new collective bargaining system now, the commissioner can't do anything at all until this arbitrator, which is a woman lawyer, my understanding, comes out with a report, and how she words that report is whether or not the commissioner can do anything at all in this situation. So she's a lawyer. My opinion is, based on logic, and I'm a student of logic, is that she can't do much because she doesn't have, she's not privy to all of the depositions and what the lawyers on both sides have. She has to kind of wait until these court cases play themselves out before she can even start making a report, because she's a lawyer. She trusts in the legal system.
And that is not, I can just tell you, that is not, the people that have been covering this the closest, this Brent Schrotenbohr, who has been on this station from USA Today, he says the NFL absolutely has all the pertinent deposition, all the testimony, and of course, Deshaun Watson also spoke to them over a three-day period. So if you're thinking that there have been some shielded information, now that new information can always come out. I bring up the Johnny Depp trial last week. More information does come out in trial, absolutely. But I do think there is quite a bit of information that they do have.
Yeah, well, let's say they do have that information. The one side's going to have what they consider to be damaging, and the Deshaun Watson's lawyers are going to have information that they think is not damaging. It boils down to, this is in the court system now, and I don't know whether or not this arbitrator lady is going to even weigh in until the court actually plays out and hears the case or not. That's key to this whole thing right now. Whether or not the commissioner has influence over her right now, I would assume he has some influence over. Who picked that arbitrator anyway?
I don't know if that was just a Goodell choice or if that was something that was part of the CBA, because they did name a new disciplinary officer, because in the past it would be Roger Goodell that would be the judge, jury, executioner. In this case, he punted on that. I'm not sure if that – we'll find that out during the break, who actually named this Sue Robinson, former judge, former attorney.
You guys up next, and I thought bygones were bygones, but I just can't do it with these guys, man. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. Happy Monday to everybody. It's your MC at the Cleveland Marathon, ready to take you on 26 miles plus. Great action.
We just had a conversation off the air that it would have got the entire room fired, including AA.
And then I talk like the Sweaty Balls guy in SNL, the Sweaty Balls group. My favorite radio show.
You know it's true, AA. You know it's true.
That was a radio
show. We don't have the funds.
Moving on. All right, you want to take more calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Still reading my mean comments on Instagram.
That you got rid of it.
He's back in.
But now I'm obsessed with the mean commentary. Well, I deleted the post.
Now he's on Parler, just to get more feedback. It's just you and Kenny. The two Kennys.
Shouting at each other. That's all that's left. Tommy in Cleveland. Hello. Tommy. Okay.
By the way, real quick, the last caller asked whether it was just Goodell who appointed this Sue Robinson as a disciplinary officer, and it was jointly appointed in the CBA by both the NFL, the commissioner's office, and the Players Association.
So it's done and then approved. Okay. Bernie in North Carolina. Hello, Bernie.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ken Anthony. First time caller. I love the show every morning.
Thank you.
And been a huge Brown fan since obviously the cardiac kid days, and God, some of the highlights we had then. But listen, I think Jadeveon Clowney, and I saw Jadeveon play high school here, It's about 20 minutes south of Charlotte, and played South Carolina. Jadeveon Clowney was such a huge pickup for them last year. And to help Myles Garrett, and he stayed healthy. It was the first time he was relatively healthy during his career. And it just, it's just the right thing. My question is, has Shelton Richardson signed with anybody? He hasn't retired, right? He hasn't signed. I think he's still unsigned as a defensive lineman. Would they look at bringing him back?
Maybe they would. And Bernie, your connection's a little rough, so thank you very much for the call and the kind words. I got to let you go. Maybe they would, but I don't know if he would. Seeing the quotes, you remember
he's still available.
Yeah, he felt pretty spurned.
Yeah,
he didn't feel
good about the process there, how he was let go. So, I mean, a money paying job is a money paying job. He wants to play that bad. I'd love to have Shelton Richardson back. I thought he was great, but.
Yeah, who's
I didn't see him back in Minnesota, though, this last year, so I have no idea.
Help me out. The other defensive player that had a great season for us, then got injured at the end of the year. Can't remember his name. 2 years
Olivier
ago.
Olivier Vernon.
He's someone I'm surprised we haven't had that name thrown around.
I've seen it on Twitter battered around.
Pretty positive
times.
someone's called into this show before. Mm-hmm. You might have been out that day, but somebody brought that up. I know somebody brought that up. All right, back to the phones. JB, Olmsted Township. Yellow.
Yeah, I wasn't able to call in for coming in hot, but do you think Betsy and Bridget went to the Bahamas?
My God in heaven.
That's not the time for that.
I'm sure I would have seen it on Instagram or whatever.
It's coming in hot.
We're doing coming in hot now? Let's go.
No, this is not coming in hot. You don't give your name for coming in hot. You can't just give your name. You might as well give it as a Social Security number, JB. Who is Betsy and Bridget?
I'll tell you after the show.
You guys keep telling me this, and I have no idea who the hell it is. I feel like
I'm very friendly with both of them. I'll see them this summer. See them over at Shoreby.
Every time you guys talk about these people, I feel like everybody's grandpa, where everybody just talks about it, like, what are we going to do with Pop right in front of him? Like, it sounds like Rodney Dangerfield all over again.
That's why you got to keep up with Instagram.
No respect.
I'm not getting on Instagram again. I'm done with the Instagram. I'm done with the Instagram for like an hour, and then I'll be back on. Why do I got to get on the Instagram, Bob, Betsy and Bridget?
You got to keep up.
Did I just walk you into a trap by some chance? Is that who these people
Uh-oh.
Are?
And you know,
we'll tell you after the show.
Double A's significant other's listening as well, so be careful.
2 years, by the way.
Wow.
They celebrated 2 years over the weekend. Still not engaged.
We were wondering at what age will our daughter, it's weird to say, at what age will she do the math? On everything.
On waving.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do the math on what?
Well, 12.
I don't think you got to worry about that. I think that's an our generation thing. I don't think it's a big deal anymore, man. If we're just being open and honest with everybody, can we just be open and honest here?
Because you'll probably tell her about the whole timeline and all that.
Yeah. Like, there was a time, and people aren't going to like hearing this, there was a time where it was a faux pas. And you didn't do that sort of thing. No, no. And Lyman might have just given away a secret. Ho, ho!
I just wonder mathematically, you know, that was always an old, wait a second, I did the 9 months thing, even though technically what? It's really 10 months.
You realize what you've just done, by the way.
What's that?
You don't realize what you've done.
Oh, I think I did. That's why I just wrote what I wrote
on the
board.
All right, I'm just making sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as bad as.
Well, I wonder, first off,
it's not a bad thing. I knew a kid growing up. His parents, his father just passed away a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But they had a quote unquote shotgun wedding, and they had ended up having 4 kids, and they were in love until he passed away.
Yeah.
So it's not unseemly, as our generation thought. I think you'll be just fine.
I just wondered too. COVID changed everything. How people are having their weddings. People are saving money. Just all the rules went out the window. And living in sin, I mean, that's been going on. That's been going on for a while.
Liz and I technically lived in sin.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody would ever get married not. I'm honest.
We are very religious people, so you know. It's a throw off there. All right. Well, that was an ending to the show.
Sure.
Something we have to think about. Big thanks to Zach Jackson who joined us, gave us a lot to talk about. Of course, we ended up talking about me getting mad at Instagram accounts, sending messages my way that were mean.
How early into a marriage would you say wedding marriage counseling is necessary? What's too early?
Counseling?
Yeah, what's too early for that? Like, say you got married on May 12th, 2022. What point is it too early to have a therapist?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.